Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with longtime publisher, editor, former beat writer, current beat writer. I don't know, all of these things.
The man himself,
the old man of the staff, the elder statesman, Mr. Scott Reynolds, along with the newest member of our staff, too. We can't even really, I just call it said staffed with a T on the end of it.
Staffed.
Well, there is staffed, but staff.
Putting a T on the end for my name.
That would
transforming
be
the word.
The former man bun, now
yeah,
chrome dome.
Oh, okay,
actually, now it's more of a burr head.
Yeah.
That would be our main guy, Mr. Trevor Sycamore.
It's almost
what's
like
up?
The length of like pet fur.
Like just chia
weird.
Pet.
Yeah, it's kinda. Just weird, man.
It's growing.
It's like chia.
You and I were talking. It's at that awkward, real awkward stage.
I feel like I should like get some water and wet your head like to make it grow more. Anyway, I tell you what, guys. It's been a slow week of news. Nothing going on. It's Thursday afternoon.
Hold on, my friend.
We're going to struggle through this podcast without any news. In all seriousness, and this is obviously a very serious matter, we make no jokes or no light of this situation, but the NFL has let Jameis Winston know that he will officially be suspended 3 games. Jameis Winston has issued a statement. Scott, why don't you go ahead and read that statement of what Jameis had to say today.
The NFL informed me today that I will be suspended for the first 3 games of the season. First and foremost, I would like to say I'm sorry to the Uber driver for the position I put you in. It is uncharacteristic of me, and I genuinely apologize. In the past 2.5 years, my life has been filled with experiences, opportunities, and events that have helped me grow, mature, and learn, including the fact that I've eliminated alcohol from my life. I've had to hold myself to a higher standard on and off the field, and that I have a responsibility to my family, community, and teammates to live above the platform with which God has blessed me. I apologize to my teammates, the Buccaneers organization, and the fans for letting them down and for not being able to be out there the first 3 games of the season. Although I'm disappointed in the NFL's decision, I understand the NFL's process, and I embrace this as an opportunity to take advantage of the resources available to help me achieve the goals that I have for myself. I now look forward to putting this behind me, and I will continue to work hard every day to be a positive influence in my community and to be the best person, teammate, and leader I can be. So that is Jameis Winston's statement on the heels of this official 3-game suspension.
Not a lot of fight back there. Not a lot of fight back from Jameis.
No,
not
at all.
That was basically him saying, it was him almost prefacing what his statement was going to be with, hey, here's why this is what happened. It's like, this was 2.5 years ago. I was a different person then. Alcohol was involved. And even though he did not directly say in his statement, I'm sorry for
doing it,
because he apologized to the Uber driver, but he didn't necessarily apologize for doing it. He basically braced himself in every way that you can, right?
Yes.
I mean, talking about him growing up and him maturing and
right.
an outside factor of alcohol being involved, that's, I don't want to put words in a guy's mouth, but I mean, come on, that's the writing on the wall, right? He's basically, he's not fighting it.
No, he's not
fighting that this allegation has now found him worthy of his suspension. He's certainly not fighting it. Even though he's not appealing, he wasn't.
And, you know, he's putting in there, and I'm glad that he did, because this is something we all three of us have talked about beforehand, before this officially came down, and he admitted, at least to his own admission, including the fact I've eliminated alcohol from my life.
Right.
If you're going to eliminate alcohol from your life, that means it's been a problem for you.
Right.
And this was certainly,
this wasn't the first time.
Right.
It wasn't the first time. This was certainly an issue in this incident. And for him to meet Erica Kinsman out at a bar, nightclub, back in Tallahassee, and to get involved in that situation with some of his roommates, alcohol was probably involved in that as well, to the degree of which we don't know if he was stone-cold sober or absolutely hammered drunk.
Right.
But it's not at the realm of possibility for us to conclude, based on his own admission, that he needs to eliminate alcohol from his life, that alcohol has contributed to his lack of good judgment in a couple of instances in his life, this being the most recent one.
I think most of us can relate, if we want to go back to our 20s and maybe even in our 40s. We all had those
right
friends in the 40s for Scott and I. Scott a little bit more in his 40s than me. But I think we can all remember, there's that one friend that had that, it was a very fine line between he was a fun drunk and he was a real jerk as a drunk.
Yeah.
Yep. And some people can just be the fun-loving guy. Mm-hmm. There's different types. There's the angry drunk, the one that wants to... We always get... I'll be honest with you. There's a reason I don't drink, because I'm the fun-loving drunk.
You're the angry ginger.
And then I have... then something snaps, and then I want to fight everybody. So I've just realized that it's just stupid for me to drink alcohol to excess, because I realize I'm probably that guy that my friends hated from time to time. But
there are some people too, and I've seen it firsthand myself going through college and thereafter. Some people get very touchy feely and get very flirty and flirtatious when they're that way. And sometimes that flirtation, if it's not welcomed and accepted, crosses a very, very big line. And I think that's certainly what has transpired here.
And what do they call alcohol? Liquid courage, right? Whether it's because I want to go fight the biggest guy in the bar, or all of a sudden you think that every woman wants you.
Right.
I mean, it certainly affects your judgment. And I applaud Jameis for realizing this. And I don't know how long ago he determined this. Hopefully it was 2 years ago that he decided. And I'll say this, and I don't know if I should say who told me this, but he may not want me to. But one of our fellow writers here, we were chatting back and forth this week via text, and he said there was an Instagram story a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Jameis and his family over at Topgolf, and somebody offered him a drink, and you could hear in the background Jameis said, "I don't drink," or "I don't drink anymore," something along those lines. So that made me think a little bit. We also have heard through the grapevine, and again, these are all secondhand stories, of maybe some other issues over the years with the alcohol. But again, to villainize him for being an idiot when he drinks, we all have to kind of look in the mirror, because I think we've all probably been that jerk at one time or another. Now, again, we are not NFL quarterbacks. We are not under the scrutiny.
Right,
and we are not guys who have been accused of sexual assault already.
And
I think that's the big thing that disturbs me the most is here's a guy that went through all these lengths to try and fight and ended up paying millions of dollars to settle a case. And to try and change his reputation, and yet he still made this decision knowing that it would possibly lead to some of the nonsense that happened in that Uber cab that night. That's the most disappointing aspect of me. I'm glad that he's decided to hopefully change his ways, but I think he's on his last straw with his football team.
You talk about there just kind of like Winston's past a little bit, and we have all covered Winston. Y'all have covered him longer than I have, but we've all covered Winston now for a good amount of time. He's a sweet talker. Jameis knows how to talk. Mm-hmm. He knows how to schmooze people.
Yep, charmer.
Whether it's with kids or adults or charities or events or his own football players, Jameis knows how to talk. And when you reference there, we are not football players. We've got to understand, like, sometimes you saying, like, well, put yourself in their shoes or have them go in your shoes. You've done things like this. It's really hard to do that because of how unique the platform is for these big time, especially quarterbacks. And a friend of mine, we were talking about the Jameis Winston thing, and I'm not going to name him, but he said we were just talking about this case, and he's like, Jameis, he's like, I've watched Jameis for a long, long time now. He thinks he can talk his way out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, when you're 20 years old and you're a Heisman winner and you just...
National champion,
and you just got past a rape case, you could either think...
You're almost untouchable.
You could either think, I gotta never do that again, or you gotta think, they were never gonna get me. Yeah. Like, whether he did or not, I'm not saying in that sense, that's a whole other debate, but I'm just saying, like, in this instance, being able to be like, I can talk my way to anything. I don't gotta change. I can talk my way to anything. I'm Jameis Winston.
People talk about athletes who feel that they are untouchable, and I'm not saying that Jameis feels that way, but you gotta look at that as a possibility, too.
I understand the whole, hey, we all think we're invincible when we're in our early 20s, especially somebody who's got the platform that he does, that people tell him all the time, you're a god, you're the greatest thing that's ever. Why wouldn't you think that you're invincible when people treat you like that? It's natural. But that doesn't mean, you're not above punishment.
And you know what? Exactly. He plays football that way, too, and that's his downfall on the field.
You know what? That's a hell of a good point.
Jameis Winston is who he is.
Because we saw at Florida State, like, how many times, and you watched every single game, being a Florida State fan, Did he help dig this team? Yep. The Louisville game. Jason Light was at the Louisville game, right? When they were down 3 touchdowns, three interceptions he threw. And then he brings him back. It's like no matter how far of a hole he digs, he believes he can get out of it. And, and you know, unfortunately, the problem is if you're in a hole and fills up with water, you're going to drown.
Yeah.
And we're reaching the point now where Jameis Winston has dug a hole for his character, and it's filling up with water. And it's hard to climb out when all of a sudden you go from trying to climb up dirt to having to climb up mud, and you slip right back down. So I do think he is on the last leg of of his career here in Tampa Bay. If another incident happens like this, I think
he's suspended for a year anyway.
Yeah,
and at that point,
it's over.
At that point, the Bucs cut him immediately. But then who signs him? I don't think anybody.
Yeah,
I think if Jameis Winston has any incidents like
this, I don't know if Josh Gordon keeps getting re-signed and guys that have been suspended for a year.
Yeah, but there's a difference between.
I understand. If it's a sexual thing, you're right.
Right,
you're right.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And could this be the parameters of the NFL when Rappaport and some of these guys came out? Schefter came up with a story that, you know, it's 3 games as long as he meets certain criteria.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's counseling, alcohol?
Yes.
Counseling,
yes.
Things like that?
No,
potentially even
that's
testing?
What I said when I was I was on one of the radio shows that we were doing last week, and somebody was like, what are these 3-game stipulations? I said, I don't know, but I assume it's counseling, rehabilitation, something.
Right.
Whether it has to do with sexual assault, domestic violence, kind of counseling, whatever it is, or like you were saying, like alcohol
and
abuse.
I don't like to bring religion or politics into any of this too, but we do have to remember a couple years ago, it wasn't long after this incident, there was a video that came out where Jameis and his fiance were baptized, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that. Again, maybe it is a legitimate conversion, you know what I mean? Maybe. And I talked to his dad about that at his football camp, not this year, but the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that because my mom, who plays organ in the church and, you know, these kind of things, she was impressed by that Jameis made a profession of faith and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that to his dad, and he goes, whoa, hang on. He said, Jameis did that a long time ago. He just rededicated himself along with his fiance who did it for the first time.
Right.
So again, I'm not saying, you know, people can use so many things and say, oh, I'm a different person. I found God or I found this, whatever it may be. But I mean, I'm hoping, and I think we all hope genuinely that he is a changed person. And if religion helps him change, that's fine too.
It's important to remember that this incident that he's now getting punished for happened in March of 2016.
Right.
So it's been over 2 years from a calendar year perspective since that happened.
Has there been anything?
Not that we know of.
This is the thing with Jameis Winston. His statement was, and I talked about this a little bit in my Cover 3. I don't think I said this word for word, but this has been. It was basically we have to wait and see when he gets officially suspended what his response statement is going to be. Because I believe, you know, when we're talking about him being a more mature person, a better person, I really do believe that the only reason he is still a member of the Buccaneers at this point is because if the second this came out, behind the scenes, he told the Buccaneers what really happened.
Yeah.
If he was completely truthful with them.
Right.
Because you've got to know, this team looked over you having a rape case in your name and took you number one overall. Whether he was guilty, charged, or whatever, he went through all this.
Yeah.
He went through other stuff at Florida State.
If he told Dirk Cutter and Jason Light that this is completely false, it's one thing to sit there and not make an admission of guilt before the media and the fans.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Which he clearly disputed in his initial statement.
But we also know that Jameis Winston has tried to take one for the team before. The Florida State crab legs incident was one of those where he didn't say, well, all my other teammates were doing it too. He was like, nope, that's me. I'll take the punishment. Yeah. I'll do it.
Right.
So I don't have much of a problem if he came out and was not completely truthful to the media.
I don't care.
And to the fans. But you better go upstairs and tell Dirk and Jason and Brian and Ed and Joel Glazer exactly what happened.
But I'll tell you this.
Because if he lied either way, omission or straight up, you can cut him.
You can
cut him and it does not matter. Because how do you trust that guy after that?
Does he know fully what happened, to be honest with you? How drunk was he? That's what you wonder about, too.
I think the facts mounted up against him once we learned that there was a second Uber drive. I went back and I looked at the initial BuzzFeed report because a lot of people were talking about the earlier Uber ride
right.
with Ronald Darby and with Brandon Banks, the third passenger, and people were referencing saying, oh, you're mistaken with how many people were in the car, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden I looked back at the BuzzFeed report and they talked about the Uber ride being to somewhere. that there were three people in the car and it was two somewhere. And I looked at the BuzzFeed report and it says 2 a.m. That's the second ride that we did not hear about until they didn't want us to hear about it.
Yeah.
And that all goes into what we just talked about. How true did the second he told the media, the second, you know, because look, man, I get the game. You tell the media you were innocent. You're going to wait till it plays out.
Right.
But if he did not immediately after that go to Jason Light and say, hey, man, this.
Here's the real story.
Right. Like,
this is really what happened.
I was messed up. Yep. I had a lot of alcohol in me.
I thought maybe she wanted it, but which again is no excuse. I'm just saying that's how alcohol clouds your judgment.
But here is what might have happened.
Here's what might happen. Because here's the thing, too. If the guy was so drunk that they had to shove him in a car and say, off with you, you're out of here because, you know, whatever reason, you can't stand up anymore, you know, you're passing out, whatever. There's a decent chance that Jameis Winston, and I'm not making any excuses for him or saying his behavior was appropriate because it was not, but there's a decent chance he may not fully remember exactly what happened in that ride either.
Which is enough of the problem in and of itself. And I get, bingo. Man, we all want Jameis Winston to be a better person right now. That's literally across the board. We all want him to be a better person, but does that mean he should be a member of this football team?
Well, you know,
he would have had to be hella truthful to them right after he released his statement to make me even think that he should still be on this football
team. But here's the deal. The bottom line is the NFL still only suspended him for three games. Now, you can look at the list of PED guys.
They got
Julian Edelman
doing whatever they
for
want.
A mystery substance. They don't even know what it is. We know that's not even a crime. So, you know, did the NFL still feel it was a he said, she said, but a little bit more, we believe her a little bit more? Did they negotiate some deal where they say, Jameis, if you admit, you know, I need to, you know, back off the alcohol situation, we'll only make it three games?
I think
the NFL's got to tread very carefully because they already have a huge black eye on the Ray Rice situation a few years ago. And that's one reason, and that's what I said on a couple radio interviews I did, that's one reason it's taken 8 months, because they can't afford to suspend him for three games, say 6 months ago, announced that.
Right,
And then all of a sudden the video comes out, I don't think it would be video, but you understand what I'm saying.
There'd be more evidence.
But that's
that would
the
come
thing,
out.
Man. It's like they've got to be able to treat
all
these
that
situations.
Evidence, still only three games.
They have to be able to treat these situations like videos coming out for all of them.
Yeah.
And like, I understand the NFL is running a business, but I really don't think the NFL treats these situations or football as much as a privilege as they say. I mean, surely they do with drug cases, because if you fail PEDs twice, you're suspended for a year. Mm-hmm. But if you have a sexual assault incident,
I've brought this up amongst us off of the air. We haven't talked about it during the podcast. But and again, I don't know, and I'm not. Again, I am not defending this. I have two sisters, right? Mm-hmm. I would be furious if my sister was that Uber driver, right?
Right.
Jameis Winston wouldn't have to worry about being suspended because I would probably have broke his elbow. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to protect people.
Right.
You have a younger sister.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And Scott, you've got a daughter, you know, who's 16 years old or 15 years old now. So
17.
Very, very. She's 17 now?
Yeah, 17. Time flies.
Golly.
As of Saturday.
Yeah.
I just remember she
y'all
was born.
Are old.
But anyway, the thing is I'm not, you know, saying or trying to make excuses or to stick up for Jameis Winston. I have a legitimate question about when does the action become a criminal offense? We know it's a creepy offense.
Mm-hmm.
You reach over and grab a girl's crotch.
Yeah.
That's being creepy.
Yeah.
But at what point, and again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what the state is.
I hear what you're saying.
I wonder
and
what that is. And is that was that the NFL's deal with only suspending him three games versus six games?
Right.
And
it's not like he pulled her clothes off. It's not like
and does that
he
make
was
a difference
attempting
in,
to rape
if
her.
If he stays with this football team or not, too.
Yes. Know,
that's what I wonder about. So,
yeah. And I'll say this. Like, in looking forward about what's going to happen next with Jameis Winston, I think this puts the team, certainly the team holds all the cards, right? And Jameis Winston, at this point in time, as it stands right now, will play the fifth-year option, which is 2019. And I'm operating right now, as of this podcast, under the assumption that the team is continuing on with having him as their long-term quarterback, that there was a level of comfortability, truthfulness, mm-hmm. between what was said. Now, if they come out and cut him tomorrow, obviously, then he was not being truthful. But if this incident happened 2 years ago, which it did, and nothing else has happened since then that the team knows about or Jameis Winston did, So he's got 2 years of a good grace period, a turn the page grace period here. He plays 2018. Now we're into the 2019 offseason. It's been 3 years. He's going to play 2019 on that fifth-year option. The team will have the opportunity to do one of three things: either extend his contract and make him a $100 million man, give him a one-year franchise tag, which we've seen with quarterbacks before, Kirk Cousins up in Washington being one of the most recent, or simply just move on after the fifth year and start over at the position. Those are the three options. The beauty of this and the time element, because Jameis Winston even said, and Trevor, you referenced this in your cover three, judge me by my actions, not my words. Well, he obviously had a huge stumble, trip, and fall right. With this incident with the Uber driver. But as we get into the 2019 offseason, and let's say he plays the fifth-year option and the team is deciding, well, we'll extend you in 2020, or we're going to let you go, or we're going to give you the franchise tag. Now that you're in the 2020 offseason, that's 4 years removed from this Uber drive.
Right.
And that will give the team a long enough window, because then he'll be 26 years old, to sit there and say, we believe Jameis has changed. Yes, he's married now. Yes, he's a father now. He's had 4 years of quote-unquote good behavior, and he's matured. And I think that that puts the team, time helps in this situation, the fact that this didn't just happen last March. It happened 2 years ago. It puts him in a situation where the Buccaneers hold all the cards. They can either yank the fifth-year option with the suspension, because I would assume that there is some language in there with the conduct policy that it can be null and void, like we saw with Doug Martin's guaranteed money of his contract. Once he got suspended, all of that guaranteed money was out the window. That really gives the Buccaneers the upper hand here, because if there's anything else that's coming down the pike, as Trevor mentioned, it would be a one-year suspension. If there's any more suspensions coming down the pike, it would negate every type of bonus money, guaranteed money in that contract. The Buccaneers, on their contract extension, could even say, you need to repay us money if you are suspended. Any type of signing bonus money we give you, you're going to have to repay the club. There's a lot of things that the team can do to ensure themselves financially. The next Jameis Winston contract is not going to wreck this team if something bad happens. It's an unfortunate situation for the team and Jameis to be in. But Scott, I don't know that Jameis Winston can go out tomorrow and get a starting job with this looming over his head. And if it is a starting job, it would be a one-year deal to see how this guy progresses in his maturity.
It's all going to his future. I believe that he's not going to have any more incidents with women. Okay, I believe that. I mean, he's on the last straw. We know that. He knows that. He would be a fool, because he is throwing away $100 million.
Without a doubt.
For a few minutes of fleeting pleasure, if you want to say that. But,
yes. And he's got a fiance.
And a kid, and he's going to be married soon. But it's all going to boil down to, his future with this team is all going to boil down to how he plays in those 13 games when he comes back. Because, again, if you don't have these things hanging over your head, if you already don't have strike two, then you could get away with having a mediocre season. I really think this is absolutely make and break year, because again, if this is another quarterback who is okay, so as Jameis has been, got some good things, still some ways to go up, has got some deficiencies as well. If it's anybody else, it's not that big of a deal. But because of the two strikes this guy already has, and I call this strike two and the thing at Florida State strike one. I don't care about the crab leg dealio, but but those are the strikes against him. This team, they don't need it. They don't need to go out on a limb anymore for a mediocre quarterback.
Agreed. I agree wholeheartedly. They drafted Jameis Winston not to be Mr. Community Service. They didn't draft him to be a nice guy towards women or whatever. They expect those things. Right. They want those things. But first and foremost, when Roger Goodell called his name, they said Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They drafted him to play quarterback. And they drafted him number one overall because they thought he was a special quarterback. And so far, he has shown the ability to be, I think, a very good young quarterback. And we'll see how high his ceiling is. The biggest thing is going to be eliminating the mistakes and the turnovers. And, you know, we said it, I think, on the last podcast. The two knocks on him coming out of Florida State, number one, was the off-the-field character incidents, because he had several, some of which were minor, and, of course, the rape charges, or allegations, I should say, were the major one.
Right.
And then the second thing on the field was a penchant for throwing interceptions. And still to this day, going into year four with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he has really done little to dispel both of those.
Either of them.
There are some character concerns, and there are some interception concerns.
If he hadn't have had this incident in 2016, then all we would be talking about is Jameis has got to quit turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And there's no problem. He's going to get the fifth-year option. He's going to get the $100 million contract. Now everything is in question, and he's certainly at a crossroads personally and professionally because, again, we talk about this team. How long is this team going to stick beside him? How long is his girlfriend going to stick beside him? How long is his fiance? I mean, you know, it's you know, we all have problems in our life, but man, you know, I would love to have his paycheck. Don't get me wrong, but you know, the scrutiny that comes with it and those kind of things, the pressure that comes with it. But again, we can sit here and say, well, you know, there's no way he's going to throw this away. We see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you remember we were here a few years ago when Tanard Jackson got suspended again, $1 million salary for weed,
right?
You know,
he just could not stop smoking pot.
And we've had other guys on this team, same thing happened. Some were cut. They were cut for that particular thing. It wasn't announced that that's what it was, but that's exactly what it was.
Right.
And I brought up Josh Gordon a few minutes ago. I mean, here's a guy, could be one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Speaking of quarterbacks, how about Josh Freeman?
Right.
You absolutely get off the rails in your contract year. The first game of your contract season, and they just drafted a quarterback in Mike Glennon, for a reason, in the third round, and you go out there and completely crap the bed against the New York Jets. And that's a story that we'll get into at some point in time that will absolutely blow Buccaneer fans' minds.
Yeah.
Okay? We have all the details on that, and that will come out at some point. But I'm just telling you, it's happened before, and it's happened with this franchise. We have seen the train wrecks happen, and I hope for Jameis's sake, and I hope for this franchise's sake, that they put all this stuff behind and he grows up and matures and it will never, ever, ever happen again. And I think admitting alcohol is a problem and cutting it out of your life is a big step. I was on the Locked and Falcons podcast doing that taping last night with Aaron, and we were talking about the Buccaneers and how they're the cellar dwellers of the NFC South, and all three other teams had made the playoffs last year in the South. And the one reason why the Buccaneers have not been to the playoffs over the past decade, and all the other teams have, and some have been to the Super Bowl, and some have won the Super Bowl, is simply because of the quarterback position.
Right.
The stability with Drew Brees in New Orleans, with Matt Ryan in Atlanta, and with Cam Newton in Carolina. And you look at the number of starting quarterbacks the Buccaneers have had since they last made the playoffs. You know, Josh Freeman.
Wasn't Craig Erickson the last playoff quarterback for this team?
No, Jeff Garcia was
in
2007. But
seems
it's been a minute, right?
By the way, Craig Erickson never made the playoffs as a Buccaneer quarterback, for the record.
You know, Josh Freeman, right?
Yeah.
Mike Glennon, Josh McCown, you know, Jameis Winston comes in. I mean, that's what, four or five quarterbacks right there in the span of a decade.
Right.
And those other teams have had, with the exception of Cam, who I think is approaching a decade, those teams have had stability there, right?
Right.
I mean, some of those quarterbacks are on their third and fourth contracts. And yet the Buccaneers have never had a drafted quarterback, whether it was Doug Williams, Vinny Testaverde, Trent Dilfer, Craig Erickson, that you mentioned, Josh Freeman.
Scott Milanovich.
They've never had a quarterback that they drafted get a second contract in over 40 years. That's one of the most...
That is a mind-boggling
stat. Mind-boggling
stat. That one may trump the... Oh, I just said Trump. That one may trump the... How long it took them to score
Michael
touchdown
Spurlock's
and a kickoff.
Kickoff return for
I mean,
a touchdown.
But that one might be even more mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, we're getting to the point where... When will this franchise ever have another double-digit sacker? Is that going to be this year with JPP or Gerald, you know, or is that is the curse of Simeon Rice still going to plague this franchise?
Well, like I said, they should have re-signed him in the offseason when he was begging to come back. I mean,
you mean this past year?
Yeah, yeah.
I would have penciled him for 4 or 5 sacks.
That would have been a great story for us anyway on this side of things.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot more news, I suspect, coming out. The Buccaneers will probably have a statement. We'll have that up on pewterreport.com. We've got a story up right now. But anyway.
We're also going to be announcing a partnership on pewterreport.com with News Channel 8.
Huge, huge news, yes. Buccaneer fans. So this is big news.
The official press release will come out at a later date, but just want to let you know that Trevor Sikkema, our own Trevor Sikkema here from pewterreport.com, will be on with Annie Sabo. If you're listening to this podcast on Thursday that's being taped, you can watch Trevor on News Channel 8 here locally in Tampa Bay. And I'm sure they'll have clips up on WFLA.com, which is the News Channel 8 website.
Hopefully my hair's not too awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward underneath
your
hat.
Can I wear the hat?
No.
No, probably not the hat.
Sure.
I would let you, but I don't think they will.
Yeah.
What if they just, like, cut it off at the eyebrows?
And if you happen to miss Trevor live on Thursday, you can also check out his interview that's going to be broadcast in its entirety on Sunday night on their sports
show.
Or Super
their sports
Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's huge news. We'll have official press release on that. And we're going to be doing that all season long, covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers along with Channel 8, who happens to be the official
news station of the Buccaneers.
So there'll be a lot of we'll announce a lot of our appearances and the schedule of events on that. Real quick, guys, not talking about football. I did something different the other night.
What'd you do?
You didn't get salmon.
I didn't get salmon.
You got a steak, didn't you?
At Ford's Garage.
Red meat.
The Elite Petite, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Medium rare.
It's the only way to do it.
Seared with their special blend of seasoning and their, I forgot, they use some fancy name for a drizzle that they put on it. Mm-hmm. Trevor probably knows because he's a foodie. I'm not. But amazing with the asparagus, the cheddar mashed potatoes. I do a little of the Ford special sauce, that butter, lemon, garlic. And I use that as a gravy. Funnel cake fries. It was an amazing, amazing night of great food at Ford's Garage. I can't tell people enough. Very, very underrated food. People think, oh, it's a place to go and have drinks, and they have an. I mean, I couldn't. Right. I finally looked at the drink menu. It's extensive. You know that, Scott. You're a professional beer taster.
I'm a beer enthusiast. Yes, and they've got a ton of beer on tap there, and it's always rotating. They have a great blend of local and national brands. They do a great job of supporting the local Florida craft breweries around here, and I've been turned on to a couple of really good beers locally by going to Ford's Garage and having a beer.
Yeah, it's a great place to go. It's very family friendly. The ambiance is neat. Even though I'm a Chevy guy, they have yet to tow my car in the parking lot, which is impressive. But no, it's a great place to go. I was actually at the Brandon location this week. Scott, you're up near Wesley Chapel. They've got a new one that just opened up in Lakeland. They had a grand opening.
And St. Petersburg, too.
Oh, St. Petersburg, West Chase. They've got one coming to Orlando. They're down in Fort Myers area in Estero. They're up in Michigan, up in Dearborn. So no matter where you are, you're not that far away from Ford's Garage. So make sure you go check them out. Make sure you let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Another event that went over really, really well last Sunday, our good friends at T.A. Mahoney sponsored a fishing awareness clinic over off of 50th in Columbus on Sunday. They gave away free fish and shrimp dinners. They had the game commissions out there. They gave away some rods and reels. They're trying to encourage more kids and city kids. You know, I grew up in the country. If you didn't fish, you were shunned and punched, and we beat you up, okay? But in the city itself, people might think, well, there's not a lot of opportunities to fish, or, you know, it's not a cool thing to do. But it really is, and Mike Mahoney and his crew put on a great event last Sunday. They do a lot in the community, and they do a lot for fishermen, for boaters, wildlife, conservation, all of those things. So go check out T.A. Mahoney's. They're on 50th and Adamo between Tampa and Brandon.
You're mentioning T.A. Mahoney's, and it just so happens that next week is 4th of July.
Yes.
And it's not just 4th of July. It's 4th of July week. And I say that because 4th of July is on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of people. As you know, part of our job here at PewterReport.com is to report on the team. We also are engaged with our advertising partners with marketing. And pretty much everybody is out of the office next week. Why? Because 4th of July is on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
right? Now, if it's on a Friday or a Monday, you know, you get the traditional 3-day weekend, great. But the fact it is on a Wednesday, that means you get the whole week and two weekends, in a sandwiched around it, to hit the beach, to hit the lakes, to get on the boat.
Right.
And the one place that you want to go to for any type of boating needs and accessories is?
T.A. Mahoney's.
There you go.
TAMahoneyCo.com. You can find them on the web. If they don't have it, stop looking, because they don't make it. They'll find you whatever you need in the marine world. Fellas, not the news we were hoping, but you know what? I'm glad it's kind of over now. Mm-hmm. Now we can – the speculation part is over. We know what's happened, or at least what the NFL is going to do.
Right.
Of course, there's still going to be some speculation until we hear from the Buccaneers. Until Joel or Brian or Ed or whoever wants to say
or
something,
Jason Darcy, or Dirk,
you know, come out. I want to see what they have to say. What they're, if there's a sign of support there, if they're going to say, "Hey, this is our guy. We're sticking with him." You know, I think they're going to. I think we all think that he's going to still be here.
Right.
But at the same time, we're calling this his second strike. Who knows? It could be his third strike with this team. So make sure you follow Pewter Report for the rest of the week. Scott, you got a new fab coming out tomorrow. I wonder what it's going to be about.
It's actually going to be about training camp sleepers.
Oh, good.
I'm going to stay away a little bit from the Jameis Winston commentary.
Right.
Just because we've talked about it in this podcast. Trevor had a fantastic cover three about
Yes, he did. I wanted to. Yep. That was one. I actually read that one, Trevor.
Thanks.
Yep. Because it was about Jameis Winston. He played at Florida State. Mm-hmm. Right. But other than that, I probably wouldn't have. But no, it was good.
I first talked about this last Friday when the news broke that he was going to be suspended. So, you know, and Trevor just put up a story about the suspension itself. So I'm going to be looking forward to some different aspects of Buccaneer football, including, you know, some training camp previews. I mean, Jameis Winston, as much as the story revolves around him right now, he is but one of 90 players in this team and soon to be one of 53. And there's a lot more Buccaneer coverage to talk about aside from just Jameis, because the first 3 weeks, Jameis is not going to be anywhere near One Buccaneer Place or Raymond James Stadium.
That's right. He's not allowed
Fitz
in this facility.
Magic time.
You're not. He's going to be – once the preseason ends, when it officially ends after that fourth preseason game –
he will be gone for 3 weeks.
He's not allowed in the building or have any contact with the coaches or anything. So, anyway, make sure you stick with PewterReport.com through the rest of the week and into next week. And we've got some other things coming up between now and training camp that I think you'll enjoy, some different series and some different topics we'll be talking about. Plus, podcast every week. So, anyway, Trevor,
yes.
Get off your phone. Tell everybody goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Scott?
See you on TV later.
Who's never on his phone? Well, sometimes, but not too bad. Tell everybody goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
For Mr. Reynolds, for Mr. Sycama, I am Mark Cook saying we'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.